And welcome back. Let's get right back to business. And the business is your health and trying to encourage all of you to live a much longer, happier, more vibrant life. And you can do so by stopping the dairy products immediately. And let's not forget the meat products. It's all in the same shopping cart. It'll kill you. It's real simple. And you all, I hope, have seen at this point in time the top featured story at Rents.com about the admission by the French government that, and I feel this is a conservative estimate, 300,000 mad cows were actually alive and living, 50,000 of which went into the food chain in France during a period of time, which is all delineated in the story. I think the exact same thing is going on here, has been for decades, and remains one of the greatest tragedies of modern American history. Robert, how about that issue of mad cow here in the U.S.? I'm sure we're on the same page.
Oh, we're definitely on the same page, but I think there's a great irony happening here in America. If you go to donate blood, the FDA has determined that if you've lived in England, you are not allowed to give blood
right. Because
of the risk of mad cow disease. In other words, they recognize that mad cow disease can spread through blood, and there's real science behind that.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't recognize or take into account is that every single day a cow will filter through her udder 10,000 quarts of blood. Now, milk is basically dead white blood cells.
Exactly.
So if you're taking this cell, this actually piece of protein fiber, a fibril called a prion, which mm-hmm. is the infectious particle for mad cow disease, which comes through the blood, which is filtered through a cow's body, and you're drinking it, you're basically drinking body fluids from diseased animals. If you can't donate blood, well, milk is white blood.
I've been telling people for many years that prions are in dairy products. No official studies, of course, have ever been, announced, shall we say, about this issue.
I think they're scared to do the studies.
Well, of course they are.
You know, if you look at my book, Milk A to Z, and you look at the front cover, there's a cow there wearing the letter M is for mad cow. And if you turn to page 28, which is M is for mad cow disease, mm-hmm. you'll see that in England... This comes from the London Times, August 23rd, 1997, written by Michael Hornsby. A 24-year-old vegetarian has been diagnosed with Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is the human variant of mad cow. Scientists fear that milk and cheese may be the source of infection. That's a quote in London Times in 1997 during the midst of England's panic. So here we've got evidence that they were looking at milk, yet God forbid they have to announce that 40% of what Americans eat may be tainted. And remember, that mad cow they found in the state of Washington, that was a Holstein dairy cow. That dairy cow had its milk merged, pooled with milk from other cows. Millions of gallons went out to the public.
Well, unless they can prove otherwise, I will continue to say we've had mad cow here for probably decades. It is a common issue. Even the president of the American Alzheimer's Association, Robert, as you know, says that 10% of Alzheimer's fatalities are actually mad cow deaths here in the United States.
About 8 years ago, I got researchers at the University of Pittsburgh that's where they keep brains, Alzheimer's brains. They have a depository of brains in glass jars. And they re-examined the brains and found that 14% of them were actually not Alzheimer's, but Creutzfeldt-Jakob. Now, you've heard of CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, right?
Yeah, sure.
But do you know that Dr. Creutzfeldt and Dr. Jakob actually were two young graduate students studying with Dr. Alzheimer?
No.
Great piece. More trivia for you.
Yeah,
they describe this brain-wasting disease where the brain turns into a sponge. It's really bovine spongiform encephalopathy. It's an encephalitis. Mm-hmm. And we do catch that. We've been catching it from cows for years.
Sure.
But now more and more people, two people in Michigan, in Ann Arbor, two young men under age 25 were in the hospital dying of the disease at the same time when I called USDA and I identified the herd. They didn't even go and quarantine the herd.
They don't care. The deluge of lies from Ann Veneman and the USDA are more than outrageous. They're felonies, in my opinion.
And you know who Ann Veneman used to work for, right?
Well, tell us.
She of course, is our Secretary of Agriculture. She was on the board of directors of a company called Biogen. They're the ones who developed the Flavor Saver genetically engineered tomato. They were purchased by Monsanto.
It's always the big M when it comes to food.
Well, with the George Bush cabinet, yeah. It certainly is, from Rumsfeld on down the line.
Well, it's
Monsanto.
Rumsfeld, of course, blasted aspartame through, and God knows how many people that's debilitated and killed.
The president of Suro bought by Monsanto. There's the M word again.
It's all there. It's just a hideous rotating door. By the way, I did look at Robert's pictures. I hadn't seen them before. His wonderful square foot garden. Take a look. He has a beautiful backyard, and that is that's not a very big backyard. I mean, you don't have
acres.
It's
a small backyard, but yeah. I planted today some new lettuce. I've got a 2x2 foot area that's growing so much lettuce now. It's kept my family of four people very well fed on salad every single night. Just two foot by two foot. And I have about 10 varieties of lettuce, so every night we have great salads.
Amazing. And just think of all that wonderful ranch dressing that Robert puts on those salads.
there's no way you can get the zucchini flowers unless you grow them yourself. I don't know if you watch The Sopranos, but they take those zucchini flowers and they bread them and fry them and serve them with marinara sauce. Mm. What a delicacy that
yeah,
is to
true,
grow them
true.
Yourself.
All too true. All right, I want to talk a little bit more about what is actually in cow's milk. We've talked about prions. There's no question at all, folks, that an infected cow has prions in its milk. None. Just give it up. You'll never see the study to disprove me because they dare not do the studies, at least in public. Now, I'm going to go jump quickly to the tonsillectomy instruments, Robert, which have always, that has bothered me greatly for years. In the UK, they took a survey of a number of hospitals and went in there and grabbed the tonsillectomy instruments that they used and sterilized. They used these over and over again, reusable, invasive surgical instruments. And they found out that the majority of them, I've forgotten how much of a majority, but it was more than 50%, had evidence of prions. This is after sterilization. They then announced that they were going to actually take tonsils and do studies to see how many of the tonsils that were removed from the kids and the adults had evidence of prions, because prions tend to like to gravitate there for some reason. That study was never either finished, or we know it wasn't released, but it was certainly probably swept under the rug. Now, in cow's milk, we know there are prions. There is another disease, among others, that cows have, and the majority of dairy herds apparently are substantially infected. It's bovine leukemia. So BLV is another issue that may well be in cow's milk. What do you know about that, Robert?
Well, we're talking about, again, a virus, and half the herds in America, Virgil Heltz, a medical doctor, wrote about this in his book Mad Cows and Milkgate, that half the herds in America have cows with bovine leukemia virus.
It's half. I thought it was up there. Yeah, Virgil was on the program years ago. A wonderful book.
A wonderful man, too. And we're talking about cows having bovine immunodeficiency virus.
That's cow AIDS, folks.
Cow AIDS, right. And it takes something like listeria, which we've heard of. It takes 45 days for it to grow in your body. Once you get it, it lives in your refrigerator, in cheese, and with the salmonella and the E. coli and the clostridium, people sometimes get pain in their chests. Clostridium is something that lodges in the diaphragm of a cow, very painful. You get a pain in your chest, you go to your doctor, he or she thinks it's in your head.
They're not going to know how to diagnose that.
Well, these things are very real, and these little bugs and bacteria and germs and viruses we get from the cow, they harbor these infections.
They live in horrible conditions. It's just stomach flu, that's all it is.
Well, it's stomach flu. It's not somebody sneezing in the elevator.
Always amuse me, people. I've got the stomach flu. No, you have food poisoning or some other toxicity from your diet. You don't have stomach flu.
If you could see, Jeff, the filters that they put on from the bulk tank when they collect the milk to before they bottle it, these are about 6 feet long and about 2 inches in diameter, these white paper filters, and they fill with brown sludge.
Oh, please.
And the brown sludge is not dirt. It's feces. It's phlegm. It's mucus. Yeah. It's caked blood from the underside of the cow.
Yeah.
It's really a disgusting product.
No, it's a killer. It's poison.
But if you don't like, if you don't mind that feces, just keep drinking the milk. But that's what you're getting, the essence of the underside of the cow.
pus and feces, pus from the inside, feces from the outside, and all sorts of goodies wrapped up in between. It's amazing. Well, I've been telling people for years, Robert, to drink rice dream as a means to get away from that and then get to, you know, fruit juices, vegetable juices, and water. And unfortunately, I have to report, and I don't miss an opportunity to do this, that the people who own Rice Dream, the Hain Company, have slipped natural flavors into their ingredient list, and I am now urging everyone to stay away from Rice Dream. Because, and no surprise to you, Robert, the Hain Company refused to disclose to me exactly what the natural flavors consisted of.
Well, when we come back, I'll give you a recipe how to make your own.
Be right back with Robert Cohen, notmilk.com. notmilk.com. And all of you need to really take this to heart. And even if you cut out one day a week to start, do something. Give your kids a break. Give yourselves a break. You want to be around to see your grandkids. Knock off the milk and dairy products, and there are a ton of them. The next time you eat a cheese pizza, I hope you remember this program. And we'll ask Robert to tell us about Flojo in a couple of minutes. But how about a recipe for your own delicious home rice drink?
This is a very easy thing for you to make. Normally, when you cook rice, you steam it, and the perfect formula for white rice is two parts water to one part rice. Bring the water to a boil, boil it for steam it at a low heat for 25 minutes. Well, instead of steaming rice, restaurants boil their rice. That's why the grains don't stick together. Use, instead of 2-to-1 proportion water to rice, 5-to-1. So if you take 2 cups of rice and 10 cups of water, bring the water to a boil, cook it for about 18 minutes until it's ready to eat, save the rice, either serve it for dinner or save it for later use. You're going to be left with 1 quart of thick rice milk. Add your sweetener, as long as it's not Nutripoison, and a little bit of vanilla, and you've got perfect rice dream. That's how to make it yourself.
Wow, that's
easy. And it
costs
nothing. So again, the proportion is 10 cups of water to 2 cups of rice. Bring it to a boil, 18 minutes, cook the rice, drain it. You've got perfect 1 quart of rice milk.
Wow. And your sweetener can be stevia. I guess you could use honey if you wanted to.
You could use maple syrup. You could even use that sugar stuff. If the turbinado sugar is wonderful, reconstituted from raw sugar cane juice.
It's not bad.
And it's a delicious drink. It's
and
cheap.
A little bit of vanilla, and you got it.
There you go.
That's good. Enough of natural flavors, folks. When a company won't tell me, and I went through 3 levels of bureaucracy there, what exactly all the ingredients are that they're asking me to trust them and to consume, I
won't. In New Jersey, we say forget about it.
There you go. There you go. Okay, as we look down the A to Z list at notmilk.com, we could spend days and days and days talking with Robert, but I'm going to leave it up to you folks to go there and do your own research. Have headaches, folks? Got stomach aches? Tell us more.
Well, they find that
migraine headaches,
the reaction to that milk protein casein, we find that we eliminate dairy completely and the migraine headaches miraculously go away. The cure is easy, and it's just eliminating that one food group.
Do you know about xanthine oxidase? Of course you do. The XO enzyme. It was a rhetorical statement, but
how do you think I found a letter X for my book? That's very, the anthine oxidase.
Very few people do. Now there is some serious scientific data that suggests that that enzyme is responsible for scuffing up the inside of the arterial walls. Normally, in the body's digestive processes, that enzyme in milk is destroyed in the stomach. But when milk is homogenized, the fat globules are chopped up into such tiny pieces, they actually coat that enzyme and allow it free passage past the stomach into the digestive tract and then into the bloodstream. Once that hits the bloodstream, the fat globules break away, and that XO xanthine oxidase enzyme is free to run around, and the body has apparently a terrible adversity to it. It reacts to it. It's allergic to it. And that enzyme does, in fact, invade the inside of the arterial walls. What does the body do to respond to that damage? It starts to build up plaque. Now, this is one explanation I heard many years ago in college, Robert, and I've never forgotten it. Is that still holding true today?
Well, Dr. Oster and Dr. Ross in the late 70s actually did this remarkable work. They did this before they even knew about these protein hormones in milk, these growth hormones that are keys to cancer. But what they did, more than xanthine oxidase, is they developed a mechanism by which these delicate hormones survive digestion. Do you know that a pint of milk, homogenized milk, can contain a trillion tiny fat molecules? Oh. Homogenization actually micronizes, makes them much smaller.
Right.
Between
10
and 100
I didn't know it was that. That's incredible. I didn't know it was that.
So what they do is they envelop these very tiny, delicate protein hormones, and that's what they did with the xanthine oxidase. Xanthine oxidase actually destroys part of the packing of the cell, and that's what they found over a five-year period, that 300 of their heart attack victims all created antibodies to a protein that should have, in theory, been destroyed by gastric enzymes. Yet it survived, and it survived through homogenization.
Wow. Okay. I notice you also have a link to Alex Hirschhaft on your site. He is
Alex Hirschhaft is the hero of the animal rights movement.
He's fabulous.
Alex Hirschhaft is the only man who can get all of the warring animal rights groups together in one room at one time.
He's amazing. And
he's amazing.
I haven't had him on in years, and I'm going to rectify that soon.
Well, now he's conducting the largest animal rights conference in America's history down in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
So he's got 1,000 activists with about 100 different organizations there. And
wonderful.
Alex really, another person who works 24/7.
Yep, he sure does. Bruce Friedrich, have him, he's been on.
If there's a spiritual leader of the animal rights movement, it's Bruce Friedrich. A good man.
Well said. Beautifully said. Howard, of course.
By the way, Bruce Friedrich is the man who streaked in England naked in front of the Queen of England with his website tattooed to his back. What a hero.
He's
to spend a day in English jails.
All right. Be right back in just a couple of minutes with Robert Cohen, notmilk.com. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Robert Cohen, who, I think your first visit to this program was almost 10 years ago, Robert.
You're right. You're right. We've been friends for a long time.
Long time, long time. A lot of milk has flown under the. Oh, never mind. All right. By the way, Ronald Reagan, when he was almost assassinated, did get a lot of blood transfusions, and there are more than a few who suspect that he might have picked up his Alzheimer's via that blood. We don't know, of course, but he did become a little bit strange not too long after his recovery.
Well, many of us feel he was strange when he was governor of California.
He was that, but he got even less so, or more so, or however your view of the world is. All right, now...
You want to talk about strange, by the way.
Hmm.
You talk about Kerry and Bush both belonging to that Yale club called Skull and Bones.
Weird, totally
and,
weird.
You know, which in a mausoleum in at Yale in Connecticut houses the bones of Geronimo and ex-presidents. And you wonder how they could have let a prize like Ronald Reagan go by.
Well, give him time.
Give him time.
He's still not cold. You got to wait a while.
I'm worrying whether he was buried intact.
Who knows? God only knows. Fox
well,
News
about
is,
it. They've got bones of presidents.
I know. Well, Bush 41.
This is a perversion, this little fraternity.
It's totally perverted, and it's satanic, and it's evil, and it's ugly. And
that's our next president, one or the other, belong to that club.
Both on the same satanic bus, headed to the same general globalist location, but they're sitting in different seats, wearing different shirts, but underneath you got the same skull
the same
and
man.
Bones.
Boy, we're in trouble, aren't we, Jeff?
We're in deep trouble. And not only that, Fox News is reporting, if you can trust Fox, but in this case, maybe they know what they're talking about. They're reporting that Kerry and Edwards have a total aggregate net worth which exceeds that of Bush and Cheney.
Wow.
Think about that one.
Wow, I think Michael Moore better get started on a new movie.
He's, listen, if he just continues doing what he has started if he lives long enough and keeps pressing it, maybe some of the American public will figure it out. Have you seen the film?
I saw the film. I thought it was very, very well done, very entertaining. I learned a lot from it.
Yeah, I haven't been able to go. My day is crazy.
It's a remarkable movie.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, there are so many things to talk about, Robert. What do you want to hit that I've missed that's really important? I did mention FloJo, so tell us that one, please, if you would, first.
Well, sure. I got an autopsy when Florence Griffith Joyner died, and they thought it was steroids that killed her, so they really didn't look at the actual culprit. In her stomach, we have 250 cubic centimeters the size of a brick of undigested mozzarella cheese.
The size of a brick?
Exactly. And you've seen pizza, the mozzarella cheese, people eat pizza in the box. And
sure, you can play tennis. Tennis with it the next
time. Or hockey. It turns into a hockey puck.
Yeah.
Well, imagine the distress caused in her stomach. Her body was producing histamines. Every internal organ was, in the coroner's words, acutely congested with mucus. She even had finger marks on her throat where she was choking herself. She couldn't breathe. And that's what killed her. And... she did one of those milk mustache ads, but she was having a classic asthma attack. Not that pizza is going to kill you, but it kills about 8,000 people a year with those asthma attacks. And the reaction, the histamines, the mucus production, clogged the bronchioles of her lungs, and she couldn't breathe. But when we examine stories, when we really get to the bottom of things, I think if you ask me what I'm most proud of, it's the work, the investigative work I did on Richard Nixon. Because I found a Watergate tape, which I actually possess, March 23rd, 1971, where Richard Nixon is visited by three members of the dairy industry carrying two duffel bags filled with $3 million cash. They gave him a bribe in the Oval Office, and on tape he's recorded saying, you men are businessmen, you know how to do the right thing about things, and John Connolly walks in afterwards and says, boy, these men are militant, they're adamant, they're going to place a lot of money into political activities. Well, a year later, Watergate was developing, and Richard Nixon was interviewed live on national television by 100 Associated Press reporters. And towards the end, one of them said, Mr. President, how about the milk fund? There were rumors going around that you took money from the dairy industry. And Nixon said, he looked at the camera and he said, well, the Democrats are trying to raise the price of milk. We're trying to keep it stable, not realizing that the Watergate tapes hadn't been released yet. And what happened was the Secretary of Agriculture, Clifford Hardin, said there's going to be no increase in the price of milk this year because there's a surplus. After getting that bribe, Nixon raised the price of milk $300 million across the board. And when Nixon was asked about the milk fund, he responded, I want the American people to know that their president is not a crook. I am not a crook. That's the most famous thing he said in the White House in response to the question about that $3 million bribe he took.
I remember the quote. I didn't remember the milk.
It was in the response to the milk question. I am not a crook. And he took the $3 million cash from the dairy industry. Got it right on a Watergate tape.
Well, he had to have something to build that library with.
Well, it was more than a library. This man became wealthy on...
don't they all?
As Spiro Agnew had to resign for the cash register ringing in his office, Nixon made a lot of money in the Oval Office.
I didn't know that. Interesting. And that's on one of the tapes. Wow.
March 23rd, 1971. You can look it up.
Most interesting.
Yep.
Okay. Here's another one. I always try to bring this one up because people see it on labels... thousands of late casein. They don't know what it is. Casein. What's casein? I've had people ask me that.
Well, we know we need protein. Protein's good for you, but 80%, four-fifths of the protein in cheese or milk is casein. Casein, when it's isolated from milk, it's the glue used to hold together the wood in your furniture. And it's the glue used to hold a label to a bottle of beer. Sometimes when I lecture, I begin with a bottle of beer and I hold it out to somebody in the crowd and I say, scrape this off. And nobody's ever been able to scrape the entire label and all the glue off. It's really a tenacious glue. But again, it's the allergenic effect it has. You produce the histamines. Mm-hmm. Every athlete knows, every marathon runner or triathlete, every opera singer or Broadway star knows you don't eat cheese before a performance. And again, sometimes that histamine reaction takes up to 15 hours. In the case of Flojo, it did. And thick, viscous mucus in all of your internal organs. That's why vegans make better lovers. They don't have all of that thick mucus clogging things up. The blood flows easier, and one is better able to perform, and greater vitality, greater lung capacity.
Just remember what Robert said earlier. Please, you knock off the dairy. Take the dairy test. Knock it off for a week. Is that what you're recommending now? Knock it off permanently, of course.
Not 7 days. I have a 9-day test. 7 days, zero dairy. On day 8, I want you to have pizza for dinner, and I want you to have ice cream for dessert, and see what happens to your body on day 9. That proves it to you, what dairy's been doing to you all your life. Because during the first 7 days, you're going to feel great. Day 8, you're going to get congested right after you eat it. Day 9, you're going to feel like crap.
All right, try it, folks, if you have any doubts. And those of you, again, who will justify your continued consumption of dairy products under any circumstances, we told you, it's all we can do. We'll be back. Robert, you just recently had to celebrate for at least a moment or two before you got back to work. It took you 10 years to overcome something that was almost insurmountable, and you did it. Tell us more.
What did I overcome?
The hormone issue in milk.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well,
that took 10 years.
It's been a struggle, but... In filing Freedom of Information Act requests, one after another with the Food and Drug Administration, I finally got them to go in and close down a factory, Monsanto's factory in Austria. I'm proud of that, and I'm costing Monsanto a lot of money, millions of dollars.
Just imagine they're recording this program and how many other programs of yours they have in their archives. They listen to every word you say.
I'm probably not their most favorite person in the world, but you know something? Thank goodness life does not imitate Hollywood movies, because I'd probably not be with you here. But down and down, when it comes right down to it, if they were really truly evil and competent, they would have gotten me by now.
Right.
So in any event, we all try to do our best. But I also have a new book out, Jeff. I want to tell you something, that I discovered a woman who really started America's animal rights movement 150 years ago.
Uh-huh.
She brought vegetarianism to America 150 years ago, and today 13 million people are vegetarians because of her.
And they're more called, all the time.
Yeah, they're called Seventh-day Adventists. And,
oh, yeah, that's right.
So my
yeah.
new book is called God's Nutritionist. It's about Ellen G. White, and it's really a very special book.
Fascinating.
We've merged science and religion with over 100 quotations from scientific journals. And this vegetarianism, this animal rights stuff, the bottom line is people's rights come first. And when you eat animals, you really compromise your body. This is the real science that we're learning. And again, we have that potential, all of us, to live to be well over age 100. But the important thing is dying well, not spending 10 years suffering before death. Dying in a week's time like they do on Okinawa, where they have more people living over age 100 than anywhere else on the planet. And they're basically essentially eating that plant-based diet.
Wow.
That's where it's at.
Wow. On Robert's website of notmilk.com, he's got his Hall of Shame, which I want all of you to take a look at. All kinds of interesting things there. Everywhere you look, there's information which will make your life, at least potentially, better.
Jeff, in 5 years, you're going to have me back as a guest on your radio show, which is soon going to be heard by millions and millions of people. But 5 years from now, you're going to say, Robert, you did it. Tell the audience how you did it. And I'm going to say, Jeff, you remember 5 years ago, I predicted I'm going to create 100 million new vegetarians. And you're going to say, yeah, I remember that. Well, Paul McCartney, before Linda McCartney died, he and Linda issued a statement. And the statement was that if slaughterhouses had glass walls, everybody would be a vegetarian.
I've been saying something similar forever. You'll never, ever see, folks, ever, on television, a documentary about a slaughterhouse.
But you know something? What you're going to see one day, nobody in their right mind who owns a slaughterhouse will let you come in with cameras and film what really goes on in there.
Of course.
But I'm going to be doing that. And not only will I be doing that, but I'm going to be setting up a three-camera shoot with sound well-lit. So you're going to see every single night during prime time live slaughter on the Internet. And you know how I'm going to accomplish that?
No.
I'm going to own a slaughterhouse. And I'm going to have everybody in the animal rights movement curse my name. And you know something? I'm going to show what it's like. Arterial spray, 8 feet shooting across a wall, and hear the animals cry as they're dying, gurgling in their blood. I will compassionately slaughter the animals, and I will create 100 million vegetarians, because the animal rights movement today, Jeff, is impotent. It's actually working against itself by promoting compassionate animal slaughter. The animal rights movement does what was happening to Jews in Treblinka when string quartets were playing as they marched to their deaths.
You know, you got a really good point, and I just now flashed on the fact that I have never heard anyone talk about actually trying to force one way or another this hideous slaughter on the television, and you can do it. And
well,
that's true.
It's going to take me about $3 million. I have the plans for the slaughterhouse, the most compassionate slaughter ever. But you're going to see the real blood and the look in the animals' eyes.
Maybe.
And the money I'm going to make the next year or two is going to be significant, and I'm going to put it all back, and I'm going to create 100 million vegetarians.
Well, I will help you every step of the way on this.
Well,
we're going to
show live slaughter on the Internet. People are not going to help but have to look. And when people see, especially the young people, we will create that new generation of vegetarians.
Oh,
There's no reason. The food is too good today, Jeff. There are too many alternatives.
What a vision. What a horrible, brilliant, wonderful, ugly vision.
Well, I can take the pain that it's going to take. And it's not easy to do, but it's time.
It's time
we move forward as an entire race. It's time that we realize that it's not easy for any creature to die, human or animal. And once we get that concept set in our minds, maybe there's going to be a lot more love in the world than war.
Boy, I think you are right on it. Maybe you won't have to set up your own plant. Maybe you could find a slaughterhouse, a small one somewhere, and just lease it for a month.
Well, having produced some television in the past, I know what good lighting is, and
yeah,
I know
sure.
what it's going to take. So it's going to take a lot of money. I'm ready to do it. It's going to happen.
It's time. It's time. And you just said it so beautifully. It's time for the species to move forward. It's time for this race to achieve and to stay, I think, on a platform of spiritual enlightenment that it has never been able to stand on for very long at all before. It falls back every time. It's time to get up.
I came to this realization 2 years ago sitting, listening to Ingrid Newkirk, the founder and director of the mm-hmm. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, mm-hmm. deliver the most wonderful, rousing speech, inspirational that I've ever heard. And I sat next to three people from the meat industry, who mm-hmm. Alex Hirschhaft invited to his conference.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got the standing ovation, they joined. They joined and applauded. I would never applaud for them that way. And then I realized they're applauding because she's helping to promote additional animal slaughter, additional meat consumption. And the numbers prove it. People are eating more meat and more chicken. The harder animal rights activists work to promote compassionate animal slaughter, the more people's consciences are relieved, the more meat they eat.
Yeah.
Therefore, we're going in the wrong direction. We're sliding downhill, backwards.
Well, I say we're falling off that platform we ought to be on. Every time we fall backwards, you're right.
Well, it's time to show people the pain.
I agree. It's got to stop. I think it's 12 billion animals a year in this country are
27
slaughtered.
Million a day. Can you imagine having their throats cut? Every single one having a throat cut is a horrible tragedy. 27 million every single day. Creatures have a knife to their throat and slit, and they die gurgling in their blood and pain.
That's all animals, from fish to cattle. 34 million cattle a year, I think, is the number.
Yeah, most of them are chicken, but again, 12
no, I mean,
million.
I'm talking about million cattle, 34 million cattle. It's 12 or 13 billion total animals, total living things are slaughtered every year and eaten. It's billions. It's too many.
And remember, each one, the knife to the throat. We have to take responsibility for that, and when we do, and we actually, as Nietzsche said, when you hold death in your hands,
mm-hmm.
that's the way you understand life. People have to see death.
Well, this is going to be an absolutely earth-shaking development, and it's time. It's well past time. People need to see what they're doing. These cows are not smiling like they show on the billboards, happy cows lining up to die or lining up to be milked to death for us.
If you think about it, Jeff, I could be the most dangerous man in America.
Well, you could be.
Because I'm going to destroy our pension funds and Social Security. We're going to live 20 years longer. How are we going to handle that? I just don't know.
There won't be any Social Security anymore.
Well, I haven't figured that one out yet, but hey, let's all live longer and happier. And healthier.
I agree. All right. Now, we got about 2 minutes left, and what do you want to add that we haven't touched on?
Well, I'm going to have to give everybody the inspiration to go for that 7-day test. So along with the inspiration, I offer you my mantra. We all have a special mantra. Mine is you've got to repeat over and over again when you look at the pizza and you see the ice cream, especially in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You must repeat. Ready? Pus with hormones and glue. Pus with hormones and glue, because that's what milk is. It's pus with hormones and glue. None of those things do you want in your body, nor do you want the virus and the bacteria and the powerful growth hormones and the proteins that cause allergies and the antibiotics and the pesticides and the fat, cholesterol, and dioxins. Don't eat those things. Give up milk and dairy, and you're going to be a lot happier and healthier.
One last quick one here, and I do get occasional email from people on health questions asking me how they can stop the constipation. And I come back every time at them with the same thing. Half of America is constipated. It's not strictly from being dehydrated either.
Right. Well, the milk and dairy, look at my website, Not Milk. Look at the left column, the letter C for constipation.
Oh, there you go.
Read the real science. Read all about it.
There it is. Robert, I don't know how to thank you on behalf of America and the world for what you're doing, but I'm going to try and thank you very much, my friend. You've been just a wonderful inspiration to me and many others for a long time. May you have another 50 years of service to us all.
Well, I'll be there, Jeff. Thank you for having me
on. All right, take care. Robert Cohen, notmilk.com. And again, I challenge all of you to do as Robert suggests, take the test. But by all means, go to the website and use the material, spread it around to your friends, think about it, Just knock it off for 7-8 days and then go back and do what he says. Dose yourself up real good and see how you feel. Give your body a chance to throw off some of that mucus. All of it. You'll lose about a gallon in a week. And this is not a joke. This isn't all in your nose either. It's throughout the body. Your body will throw it off. We'll be back.